Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Dissertation in 90 Days, your go-to podcast for navigating the challenging yet rewarding journey of PhD research. I'm thrilled you're tuning in today because we're about to begin a topic that is absolutely crucial for all doctoral candidates understanding the Institutional Review Board, IRB, approval process. Now, let's talk about the IRB. If you're a PhD learner, you've probably heard about it, but its importance cannot be overstated. The IRB isn't just another step in your research process. It's a guardian of ethical research practices. In simple terms, it's like having a wise friend who ensures that your research respects and protects the well-being of your participants. You might be wondering, why is this important to me? Well, think of it this way. Good research isn't just about groundbreaking findings. It's about conducting your study responsibly and ethically. The IRB helps you do just that. It's there to guide you, to make sure your research sails smoothly on ethical waters, and that the rights and welfare of your participants are front and center. So, as we dive deeper into this topic, remember that understanding the IRB is more than a procedural necessity. It's a fundamental part of being a responsible researcher. Stay with me, and let's navigate these waters together, making your PhD journey not just successful, but ethically sound as well. In this segment, we're going to unpack the Institutional Review Board, or IRB, and its critical role in academic research. First off, what exactly is the IRB? Picture it as a group of experts who have your back. They're not there to make things difficult. Instead, think of them as your ethical compass. Their job is to review your research proposal and ensure that everything you plan to do is safe and respectful, especially to the people who participate in your study. Why is this so important? Well, research isn't just about finding new information. It's about finding it the right way. That means respecting the rights, privacy, and welfare of the people involved in your study. Whether you're conducting interviews, running surveys, or even doing medical research, if people are involved, the IRB plays a vital role. Let's talk about the types of research that need IRB approval. It's not just medical or psychological studies. If your research involves collecting data from people, their responses, their personal information, their opinions, you'll likely need to go through the IRB. This includes educational research, sociological studies, even some types of historical research where you might interview living individuals. Now, let me share a story to put this into perspective. A while back, a colleague of mine was doing a study on workplace behaviors. She planned to observe employees at a company and interview them about their experiences. Before she could start, she needed IRB approval. Why? Because her research involved observing and interacting with people in a specific setting. The IRB reviewed her methods to ensure that the participants' privacy was protected and that they were fully aware of the study's purpose. This process made her research stronger. She had to think deeply about how her work affected those she was studying. It wasn't just about getting the data, it was about getting it responsibly. So, as you begin your research journey, remember the IRB is your ally. They help you think through the ethical dimensions of your work. Engaging with the IRB isn't just a formality, it's a crucial step in conducting meaningful and responsible research. All right, let's roll into our next segment. Preparing your IRB application. This might sound daunting, but I'm here to break it down into easy steps. Step 1, clarity in your research proposal. You need to clearly articulate what your study is about. What's your research question? What methods are you using? Who are your participants? Think of it like explaining your research to a friend who's not in your field. Keep it simple and straightforward. Remember, clarity is like gold in your IRB application. Step 2, identifying ethical issues. This part is all about foresight. What potential ethical pitfalls could your research have? Are you dealing with sensitive topics like mental health or personal beliefs? How will you ensure privacy and confidentiality? It's crucial to show the IRB that you're thinking ahead, considering how your research might impact your participants. Step 3, the consent form. This is where you explain to your participants what they're signing up for. It's not just a formality, it's a cornerstone of ethical research. Use plain language, avoid academic jargon, make sure they understand what they're agreeing to, what the risks are, and that their participation is voluntary. A well-prepared consent form builds trust and shows the IRB that you respect your participants' rights and autonomy. Step 4, detailing your research methodology. This is where you need to be as specific as possible. Outline every step of your research process. How will you collect data? How will you analyze it? Think of it as a recipe. You need to provide enough detail so someone else could replicate your study. This level of detail demonstrates to the IRB that you've thoroughly thought through your research process. Step 5, clear and effective writing. Here's where we channel a bit of John Maxwell's approach. Make your application engaging and educational. Use a conversational tone. Break complex ideas into simpler, digestible parts. Avoid long, winding sentences. Use bullet points or numbered lists to make your application easier to follow. Remember, the IRB members are busy people. A well-written, engaging application can make a big difference. And there you have it, a step-by-step guide to preparing a winning IRB application. Keep these tips in mind, and you'll not only impress the IRB, but also lay a strong ethical foundation for your research. Now we're diving into common pitfalls in IRB applications and how to avoid them. One of the biggest mistakes is vagueness in your application. It's like giving someone directions without street names. Your application needs to be clear and specific. Detail every step of your research, from how you'll recruit participants to how you'll analyze data. The IRB needs to see the full picture to give the green light. Another common oversight is underestimating potential risks. It's easy to think, my study is harmless, but every research involving people has ethical considerations. Privacy concerns, emotional distress, even the inconvenience of participation. These are all risks that need addressing. So, take a step back and ask yourself, how could my research affect those involved? Now, for some practical solutions, a second pair of eyes can be a lifesaver. Have a mentor or a peer review your application. They might catch something you missed. It's like having a fresh set of eyes to spot the missing piece in a puzzle. Another key is to start your application early. Rushing through your IRB application is like running a marathon without training. It's a recipe for mistakes. Give yourself ample time to think through every aspect of your research. This isn't just about meeting a requirement, it's about ensuring your research is ethical and sound. Let's talk about success stories to inspire you. I recall a doctoral candidate who faced initial rejection from the IRB due to insufficient detail in her data protection strategies. She didn't give up. Instead, she revisited her application, fortified her data protection plan, and resubmitted. The result? Approval on her second attempt and a successful study that contributed significantly to her field. Another inspiring case involved a student conducting research across different institutions. Juggling multiple IRB requirements seemed daunting. However, with careful planning and transparent communication, he managed to align all the requirements into a cohesive application. His perseverance paid off. His project didn't just succeed, it became a benchmark for multi-institutional research. These stories show that while the IRB process can be challenging, it's far from impossible. With a clear, detailed application and a proactive approach to potential risks, you can navigate this process successfully. Remember, many have walked this path before you and succeeded. You can too. Stick around for more tips and insights to help you through your doctoral journey. You've hit the submit button on your IRB application. What happens next? Let's walk through the steps and talk about patience and persistence in this process. First, a waiting game begins. It's like planting a seed and waiting for it to sprout. The IRB committee will review your application, which can take time. They're thorough, ensuring every aspect of your research is ethical and safe. Now, let's say you get feedback or requests for more information. This is totally normal. Think of it as a conversation, not a setback. The IRB isn't saying no. They're saying, let's make this better. They might ask for more details on your consent form or clarification on your methodology. Treat this as an opportunity to refine your research plan. When responding to feedback, be prompt and precise. Address each point the IRB raised It's like answering questions after a presentation. Be clear and to the point. This shows the IRB you're serious and committed to ethical research. Patience is key here. The IRB process isn't a sprint, it's more of a marathon. It can be tempting to rush or get frustrated, but remember, this is an essential part of your research journey. It's about ensuring your work is ethically sound and respectful to your participants. And finally, persistence. If you need to revise and resubmit, don't be disheartened. Many successful researchers have been there. It's part of the journey. Keep at it, refine your application, and stay the course. So after submission, be patient, be responsive, and stay persistent. This phase is as much a part of your research journey as the data collection itself. And just like that, we're wrapping up another episode of Dissertation in 90 Days. Let's quickly recap the key insights from today's discussion. We started by understanding the IRB and its crucial role in safeguarding ethical research. Remember, clarity and detail in your application are vital. We then walked through preparing your IRB application, emphasizing the importance of being specific about your research methods and ethical considerations. We tackled common pitfalls, stressing the need for clear, effective communication, and the importance of addressing potential risks head-on. Finally, we discussed what happens after submission, highlighting the need for patience and persistence in responding to feedback and awaiting approval. I encourage you to apply these insights practically in your doctoral journey. Your research is not just an academic exercise, it's a contribution to a larger body of knowledge, and navigating the IRB process is a significant part of that contribution. I'd love to hear your experiences and any questions you might have for future episodes. Your journey, challenges, and successes can inspire and guide others, so don't hesitate to share. Before we sign off, a quick reminder. Check out the playbook, How to Get Your Dissertation Approved in 6 Months or Less, by Dr. Anthony Robinson, who impressively completed 2 dissertations in 6 months. It's packed with valuable insights and practical tips. You can download it at writerser.com/playbook. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I hope it's been enlightening and encouraging. Join me next time on Dissertation in 90 Days for more guidance and support on your PhD journey. Until then, keep researching, keep learning, and keep moving forward. Farewell, and see you in the next episode.